In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's living, and then there's living. You know, as we go about our days, many of the typical things that we do for the everyday are rather necessary for sustaining our lives, and yet those are not the things that we truly do live for. Just for example, you brush your teeth a couple times a day because that keeps allowing you to eat a good variety of foods, and so you can stay healthy for more years and be more vibrant in general instead of going to the dentist all the time. And yet very few of us live to brush our teeth. What people often say that they do live for, though, are things like what you might tell about in your Christmas letter. Like certain events or accomplishments, or like where you vacation, your leisure activities, things with your family and friends, or a new start that you are anticipating. But more than all of these things, I would hope that all of us here would hope that we live, for the things of God's Word. The things that He bestows, reveals, and promises, all of what Jesus did and won for us by His death and resurrection. That should be what we live for. We all should be able to echo the words of David in Psalm 27, where he says, "One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." That's what David lives for. That's what we all should be able to say. And I mean, it only makes sense, doesn't it? It is God who gives life. God gives us the ability to experience all the things our senses can apprehend. He is the one who gives as well as who makes for the circumstances, for our optimism, our hope, our happiness, all that makes for life temporally as well as for eternity. And so we should only want to know more of Him, where He reveals Himself in His temple, where He puts Jesus before our eyes. Now, I mention living and living here in two different senses of that word. And those two senses are not wholly unrelated. But a person who is not trusting in Jesus inherently gets them backward, if they've even ever known living like you and I do as Christians. For example, in unbelief, people will think church, God's Word, the Bible, they will think of all of that stuff as if it's separate from the real stuff of real life, which for them usually pertains to things like their job and family. You know, Pastor, that's the serious stuff, but what you are doing, that's all just kind of extra. It's tack on, you don't really need it. But in the Bible, there's actually two different senses. There's actually two different Greek words for life and life, which capture this distinction that I'm talking about, that you and I know, and have a beginning of knowing at least. And I think it's very helpful to know this. First of all, in the Bible, when we see the word life, there is life in the bios sense. And I think you know the word biology. We get our word biology, biologist, any number of food products that are bio something. It refers to earthly life and sustenance for it. We need it. But for many, this is really all they have and that they are seeking to extend. But then there is life in the zoe sense. It's a different word. Maybe you've heard the girl's name, Zoe. And that is actually the name that Adam named his wife. Did you know it? In the Old Testament, in the Greek translation thereof, we know as the Septuagint, he names her Zoe. We say it in English, Eve. It means life, because she was the mother of all the living, Genesis 3:21. That is what Adam called her, even after the Lord had just given the sentence, "Dust you are, and to dust you shall return." As in the day that they ate of that forbidden fruit, they would surely die. He no less called her Zoe, life, Eve, because the Lord had just given the promise of the Savior, who was the seed of the woman, the seed who was going to crush the devil's head, through whom his own heel would be bruised, to be sure, as he would pay for our sins, dying on the cross. But that would mean life for every generation. It was coming only through and because that seed of the woman. Adam named his wife Zoe as a reminder to him of that promise which became everything, what everything hinged on. All things depend on that Zoe through that seed. Here, even when they were seeing all the bios around them beginning to die, where they had only known life for bios in the past. And so when Adam calls his wife's name Zoe, that is a confession of faith. He was trusting God's goodness and promise despite all the death he could see, despite his own sin, despite his own inherent knack now toward despairing. He wanted to name her Eve because that would bring him back into focus. To look at God's promise that God, who does not lie, had said that he was going to do, sending that seed whose heel would be bruised so that he could win life, salvation for Adam. Adam, if he was just simply going to follow his own tragic, sinful nature, you could imagine he might have named his wife Tragedy, or I Screwed Up, or Gullible One, or Friend of the Serpent. But he wanted to name her Life because of God's promise, and despite how he was now going to be sweating over the ground and over all his food and bios sustenance, sure, he might get some bios from the ground. But Zoe is true life. Zoe means life with eternity in view for me because of that coming seed, Jesus, who, I would remind you, by the way, would not be the seed of a man, but solely because of the work of the Holy Spirit, who is the Lord and giver of Zoe. So how does this relate to everything that we've been hearing about in the readings today thus far? Well, when Peter and the other disciples are astonished at the great catch that they had just taken, well, Peter fell down at Jesus' knees and he says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." But that is when Jesus replied to Peter, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And that's what we heard in our translation. But that word for catching men is, in Greek, zogroin, which more fully means, really, catching men alive, from the word zoe. Catching men zogroins from Zoe. Now, normally, fishermen knew that they were fishing for bios, for sustenance. And then they would sell their bios so that they could get money for more bios to sustain themselves and prosper their biological life. But here, after the biggest haul of what are now biologically dying fish, Jesus had told Peter that he was going to be catching men zogroin, alive, so that they could have zoe, life. And recall how this happened with Peter, what he's just experienced here. Amid a catch of fish that many fishermen would say was that they could only dream of, Peter was not feeling now more alive than ever. He was feeling his sin. He's feeling like Isaiah did in the temple when he realized he's in the presence of the Lord God himself. When Isaiah said, "Woe is me, I'm undone, for I am a man of unclean lips amid a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Peter realized that all these fish were nothing as he is standing here in the midst of the Lord himself. And here he had just been acting quite cocksure around Jesus because he thought he had better fishing knowledge. He could show Jesus a thing or two. Peter took pride in his fishing knowledge and abilities. He had been depending on that and thinking that is what really made him great. By God's law, though, he knew that he deserved not just biological death, but zoological as well, which happens, unfortunately, for many people at the same time. It means being cast away from God's presence forever. And in fact, when Peter is here feeling his sin, he's got a despairing conscience. That is actually even what he asked for. He asked for Jesus to be away from him. Jesus being there with him was only keeping him painfully reminded of the doom that he thought he was surely going to have. But that is what people overwhelmingly do who only know their sin, who are stuck in it, who don't know a Savior from it. They want to stay away from God, thinking that might help them. When truth is, it only hurts them. They're only making their path to their doom worse. But they do that thinking there's no help, no self, and no Savior. But here, when Peter was realizing his sin and asking even that for what would be worse for him, that is not what Jesus did. Jesus tells him, "Don't fear." And he forgave him. He encouraged him with those simple words. And he tells Peter, in fact, "From now on, Peter, you are going to be catching men alive, zogroin, so they will have zoe." That word of Jesus forgiving him not only relieved him, it breathed new life into Peter. And Peter himself was going to be breathing and bringing this new life by the forgiveness of sins to others. Of course, this was only the beginning of all of the wonderful adventures and accomplishments that would be done through Peter. But keep in mind, it's also going to be the beginning of a lot of little deaths for Peter, as precursor to the death and resurrection of the body at the last day. Peter would be doing lots of things that would call for his old Adam being put down, for all confidence in himself to be put down, a lot of things that looked like his bios was going to be taken from him. And yet through all of this, as Peter keeps trusting in Jesus, hoping in his word and promises, knowing this is the truth, well, he had very much zoe. Take, for example, another famous incident when Jesus and Peter would be on a boat. The time when Jesus is walking on the water amid the storm, you know the incident. The disciples are all terrified, stifled. They think they've seen a ghost. Peter asks Jesus to call him out, to show it is indeed him, so that they don't need to be stifled. And so Peter would begin to walk on the water. It was a bit risky to his bios. But then, if you remember, he looks at the way at the waves, he begins to sink, only to be rescued and chided by Jesus. But that is just one example where Peter would be doing something that seemed detrimental to his bios, his life, though it truly proved good for his zoe because of Jesus. I'm sure people would have looked at Peter and the other apostles who were following Jesus here, were leaving all their things, that they would have thought that they're pretty crazy. They gave up their farms, their profitable businesses. And then later, they do so all the more, going out into a wide open, unbelieving world to tell them about how a dead man had risen, and this is God himself, and that this means forgiveness for the sin, for all offenses against God. This is how God gives life, eternal life, and there is, in fact, no other real life. This would involve many adventures that the apostles, that the disciples were going to take as a part of this. For example, you know, they go out to proclaim to the Gentiles the grace of God, the God of the Jews. A lot of Jews weren't going to like to hear that. They'd threaten to kill the apostles. And yet, amid all those threats and persecutions, the apostles were realizing their life in Christ all the more. I'm sure those persecutions they faced for preaching the word or into new territories, they were something that their doctors were going to tell them, "You can't be doing this, it's bad for your health." Their financial professionals and insurance salesmen would have dropped them. And yet they keep going, doing many things of this sort that were going to expend their lives. Why? Because Jesus called them to. Because they knew that this was the ministry of zoe, life. Now don't get me wrong. A peaceful and quiet bias is something indeed to be desired. St. Paul, who is by no means a stranger to sticking out his neck to preach Jesus, says that we should pray that we may lead a peaceful and quiet bias life, godly and dignified in every way, and that this is a good and pleasing thing in the sight of God our Savior. Paul himself had a lot of peaceful and quiet time in his bias, but a lot of the time he was full of tension and risks, little deaths, he says. He was called to many new places and saw many other difficult situations where there were great, huge needs, where he'd keep risking his bias. That peaceful and quiet bias that he wanted is what it had allowed for his Zoe life and the ministry of the gospel to go forth. But there were always challenges, requests, demands, opportunities that felt like a little death. But here, Peter, Paul, all the other apostles, pastors that they would appoint, pastors today, indeed should know that simply living to extend your bias, that is not living, that's dying. And so should you. You should know that too. Zoe, life in Christ, with eternity wide open before you and promised to you, is what you have because of Jesus, because you're baptized. Zoe is in the living confession of him as Lord in word and deed, especially when you are in the face of sin, death, and falsehood. Zoe is in following Christ according to his word, carrying out his commands, proclaiming the word of forgiveness and eternal life in Jesus by the death he won, doing it all to the glory of God that is in Christ Jesus, our crucified Lord, and for our neighbor's Zoe life, proclaiming Jesus' promises even though it seems unbiologically healthy. You know, Elijah had nearly lost his biological life as he was preaching the true God. Today's Old Testament was just after that great contest with the prophets of Baal. Baal, who was the god of biological life and fertility. But Elijah preached, "The Lord is God." Of course, we know who won, but still Ahab and Jezebel were threatening Elijah's bias. They were threatening to kill him. And so that's where he was today when he was on that mountain. He was growing weary. But what did the Lord do? Well, Elijah had a little rest, but he sends him back out again to something that would also seem detrimental to his life, to anoint a different king. That was treason, Ahab was going to say. But so Elijah would do, and the Lord would prosper him as he would do it, proclaiming the Lord, Yahweh, is God. But it doesn't have to be such visible grand scale either. Later in Luke's gospel, Jesus and his disciples are at the temple where they see rich people bringing their offerings to the Passover. But then he notes one poor widow who puts in 2 copper coins. And this poor widow, he says, has put in more than all of them because she, out of her poverty, has put in all her bias or bion, which all her bias that she had. She put her whole life in. That is all a bit of what people call risky. And yet it is truly good for true life, Zoe, in every way, and which they would never regret. But I don't exactly like to say it was risk to do this, because they had a very substantial reason and example there before them. Peter and all the others had known Jesus. They had heard and seen him do things and heard him preach. They knew he was the Messiah. Jesus wasn't calling them to do what is sometimes called a leap of faith, much less blind faith, because, well, Jesus was doing these same things himself. And he was living. Neither is following Jesus like hedging your bets, because it's safer to follow Jesus rather than to not, and kind of just in case, like a Pascal's wager. No, Jesus had shown that he has authority over all things. Peter's walking on the water when Jesus told him to, that wasn't risky, because he had Jesus telling him to do it, and Jesus was doing the same thing. Only the unbelieving Adam in us likes to call it risky, or typical unbelievers do, because Jesus' word isn't good enough for them. But you have faith that is based on Jesus' word, the incarnate Lord who has come in the world and done all these things and has died and is risen from the dead. And he is calling you to now live for him. He has gone before you. You know, and you can be sure of it. So consider Peter again here today after Jesus calls him. Right after this, Peter was married, you know, and he's going to have to go and tell his wife, "Honey, I just left the boats and I gave up the business." And she say to him, "You did what?" And to be sure, he might have had a few second thoughts, but then he'd say, "Well, you know Jesus, who we had just been hearing and seeing and who just healed your mother? He is calling me to go with him and to be working with him." And Peter's wife probably would have had a few thoughts. She'd listened to Peter talk about what had just happened out at the lake. And though it would seem also by us losing to her too, she'd say, "Go get him, Petey." And that would be the beginning of countless by us, seemingly by us, losing incidents. And yet incidents that were truly Zoe gaining. Not just for Peter all the more, but for all the people who were going to hear the word of Jesus, the word of the forgiveness of sins, the word of eternal life. But this is much as it is for many a pastor, or in fact church workers, many Christians of all sorts. You know, we're simply used to this more after 2,000 years. Many pastors could have or did have financially or otherwise lucrative talents, but they left their boats for the sake of the gospel. And doing things like this is what the ministry is also full of thereafter, calls for it. It's not the way of death, though. It's the way of life. Being a pastor is kind of like the soldier or the bomber pilot in war who's on a mission where there's not enough fuel to get back from the mission. But there's people who need to be freed that you could go on to. But that means you're not going to go back to safety. Or you got enough for a short mission, but you can give it back safely. But the people who are out there still are going to be under tyranny. So which are you going to do? Are you going to turn back and stay biologically healthy? Or are you going to live? When a man takes a call to be a pastor, he knows that he is taking a call to truly live. Zoe. Actually, where do you think, though, that pastors, Peter, military soldiers also ever got the notion of going on to risk their life, to spend their life for others, and to do it bravely, rather than to preserve their own? It all goes back to Genesis 3:15, where the Lord was, he knew his heel was going to be struck by the serpent. And in fact, Jesus was going to die, because he knew we needed life. And so he bravely went. And the people rescued, what do they think? Well, we are very glad today, are we not? Some may never know, but many start to live already just hearing that the help is there, that Jesus has gone before. And that is the Zoe that he calls you to as well. And I pray a collect just about every week that asks that the Lord will show us that the way of the cross is the way of life. The way of the cross is the way of life. Zoe. Life in its fullness goes through death. It experiences many little deaths. We live in death for Jesus' sake, bearing the cross. And by the sign of the cross, confessing his word, we live all the more. It is Zoe that starts and goes into eternity, since we've been forgiven, reunited with God through faith in Jesus, who is now living in and through us by his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Zoe. This is what was begun in you when you were baptized. It's the life he enjoins you to all the more. It manifests in all the sorts of little and bigger ways when you might be expending a bit of bios so that you can live in Jesus. It's kind of like getting married to a Christian spouse. You don't know what the future is going to be, but by what Jesus has given you and with his promise, you can take the plunge, they call it. But you know that losing you will be losing your life hereafter, but you gain it all the more. You don't actually lose your life for coming to Bible class when the doctor might say it's healthier to stay in bed. No, you gain your life. You gain it all the more. And you have Jesus, his apostles, and countless Christians who have gone before you. Challenge yourself to take up something that would cause you to draw on Jesus' promises to live in him all the more, though it might cost a bit of bios. Make it a point to maybe bring up your faith to talk about Jesus with somebody, a friend that you see regularly, or a coworker, even though you might know, you know it might change that friendship a bit, or it might cost you your job. It might feel risky, people would call it. But Jesus has called you to be about him and his word of the gospel, and indeed speak it to others, because this is the word of life. People will only be regretful if they miss it in the end. But you have it now. You know that the way of the cross is the way of Zoe. So live it. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.